President Bush is making Social Security reform a top priority for his second term, and he's putting pressure on Congress to privatize part of the system. To sell the changes, Mr. Bush and his supporters warn that doing nothing would have dire consequences. But while they stress the problems, they're also being accused of overstating them and of proposing a solution that might make things worse. Here's NPR's Don Gagne.
At a two-day White House economic conference this week, Social Security was a major topic of discussion, and the picture painted was not a pretty one. The panelists included Time Warner Chairman Richard Parsons.
We're on a collision or a train wreck course.
Former Minnesota Congressman Tim Penny.
The long-term picture is rather bleak, that the status quo is unsustainable.
And Sandra Jaques, introduced as a single mom from Iowa, but who also represents a group that's been pushing for private Social Security investment accounts.
I have a daughter at home. Her name is Winter. She's 10 years old, and I want to make sure that she has Social Security when she retires as well.
And you can add the president's own words to this downbeat chorus. As he closed the economic conference, he looked ahead to when baby boomers begin retiring in large numbers.
The system becomes untenable within a relatively quick period of time. The Social Security system is in the black today, but in the long term has $10.4 trillion in unfunded liability. That's trillion with a T.
But Mr. Bush's critics are quick to charge that this all amounts to a strategy by which the White House is trying to define the terms of the debate, and in the process have the negotiating begin with everyone conceding that something drastic needs to be done, and soon. Take that gigantic number the president just used, a $10.4 trillion shortfall in the long term. Mark Weisbrot is co-author of the book Social Security, The Phony Crisis. He says that figure is designed to shock people, but that when compared to other very long-range government obligations, such as making deep tax cuts permanent, it's not as big, again, relatively speaking. Shortly after yesterday's White House-sponsored discussion on Social Security wrapped up, a group of opponents of privatization held a news conference a few blocks away at the National Press Club. They argued that the transition to privatization means that between $1 and $2 trillion would be diverted from the Social Security system as younger workers used it for their own private accounts. That, they say, would put the current system at risk and result in benefit cuts. Kim Gandy is the president of the National Organization for Women.
Does the system need to be tweaked? Sure it does. But this plan is like rescuing a treed cat with an infantry battalion. You end up with an injured cat and a whole lot of collateral damage.
Others made the case that in reality, the Social Security system has enough money to pay the current level of benefits for the next 40 or 45 years. And in that amount of time, there is no cash flow issue. Roger Hickey is co-director of a group called the Campaign for America's Future.
The important point here is that we have plenty of time to come up with a rational approach. There is no crisis, and there is no need to stampede the country, as the president is doing, into privatizing Social Security, which worsens the finances of the Social Security system.
In the early 1980s, with Social Security facing a far more immediate fiscal problem caused by years of inflation, President Reagan called on a bipartisan group of economists and members of Congress to negotiate a solution. Led by Alan Greenspan, later to become chairman of the Federal Reserve, this special commission fashioned changes that won widespread support in the country but did not include privatization. That's a formula some in Congress say should be tried again before taking the more drastic steps the president insists are necessary now. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.